This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. A good news, bad news kind of day.
Give me the bad news first.
The Redskins played yesterday.
Oh. Okay, can I have the good news?
The Nationals play the wild card game at Nats Park against the Milwaukee Brewers tomorrow.
93 wins. 93 wins for this Nationals club.
Finished the season on a roll. 8 straight wins, their longest winning streak of the year going into the playoffs. Some would say perhaps peaking at the right time while the Brewers lost their final 3 games.
They certainly did, which is just fine by me. We know the pitching matchup. We will break it down. Lots of good stuff. We will be doing some pregame tomorrow. There's a whole lot of Nats taking place on this radio station in the near future.
I'm jacked up about tomorrow. I just want to let everyone know right now. We've got Dave Martinez coming on with us tomorrow to kick off our coverage of Wild Card Day on Grant and Danny. We'll also be joined tomorrow by Anthony Rendon on the show. So we're going to paint the sucker red. We're going to give you all Nats all the time tomorrow on Grant and Danny, and there will be plenty of Nationals today as well. But look, the Skins played yesterday. The season's coming apart at the seams, and we'll start where the year really unraveled yesterday. In East Rutherford at the Meadowlands, where the Redskins fell to 0-4 for the first time since 2001. You think about some of the disasters that we've experienced around here.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Shanahan getting fired. Jim Zorn swinging gate getting fired. The coming and going of Joe Gibbs, and so much more over the last 18 years. Not once during any of that had the Redskins started 0-4 until yesterday. You got to go back to when I was 13 years old, and Marty Schottenheimer's Redskins in 2001 started 0-5 and then went 5-0 with a LeVar Arrington pick six against Carolina to fuel a week 6 win.
Rod Gardner, huge day that game.
200 yards.
Right.
Turned their season around. They were 1-5. They got even. They ended up going 8-3 down the stretch. But this is the first time they've been 0-4 since then, Danny.
Mm-hmm. They typically limp through. There's just enough hope so that they make a short-term, you know, short-term thinking decision to try to, oh, we're close. We're right there. Very rarely does it get off the rails like this. There's usually some reason for optimism at some point. They're 2-4, but they were in one of those games. They're 3-6, but. And then you rip off a 7-game winning streak once every 5 years, and everybody thinks that's the real thing, not this much larger sample that tells you you are a hot tire fire.
I think if you are like me and like Danny, most of us reasonable going into the year looked at this team with a journeyman for a quarterback and a defensive coordinator that the Redskins didn't want to keep but did. You didn't think they were headed to the playoffs. You didn't think they were going to be 500. You thought they'd probably be a 6-7 win team. And even in getting to that total, I'm not sure that you would have thought they would have beaten Philadelphia on the road. Dallas, an NFC conference juggernaut, it looks like, even at home. And certainly they weren't going to win a Monday Night Football game against a 12-win team a year ago in the Bears. To get embarrassed the way they did was not acceptable. 0-3, while frustrating and maddening, stomachable. Yesterday, though, there's no excuse for.
Nope.
That you like to say, well, we were the underdog, we weren't supposed to win. It's a very winnable football game. The Giants were 1-2, could easily have been 0-3, should have been 0-3. They're starting a rookie quarterback in his second game, and as we predicted all week, he'll make some mistakes and give you a chance. Daniel Jones, with 2 interceptions in the first half, did that. And yet the Redskins, against the Giants team, that is not particularly more talented than they are, unlike the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Bears. New York doesn't have more talent than Washington necessarily. You get out first downed 3-1 by New York. You go 2-for-11 on third down conversions while allowing them to go 8-of-13. So for the season
now.
That's
on brand.
For the season, you've given up 34 conversions and 54 tries, which is unfathomable. You're outgained by 213 yards. You're outsnapped by 20 plays. You gave up 164 rushing yards to a Giants team that did not have Saquon Barkley. And you were called for 15 penalties. There were 12 accepted penalties against the Redskins and more that the Giants said, no, we don't need that
one. We don't even need it.
Because even though they committed an infraction, we still got the better of them on that play.
If the Giants were any good, they'd have won by 40. I mean, the Giants turned it over four times. Daniel Jones gifted you a couple interceptions.
And then there were two. I'll give the defense credit for four takeaways. But there were also two fumbles that were just kind of careless line of scrimmage fumbles. It wasn't like a great defensive play was made. It was just a bad play by the running back. And the Redskins recovered two fumbles. Time of possession in this game, by the way, Danny, 36:09 New York, 23:51 Washington. You got dominated and pushed around and kicked in the stomach and lifted up and shoved into the toilet with your hair so that they could make you do a swirly by a bad Giants team.
Yeah, they're not any good.
The Giants are what? They're 6-10, you think? I mean, probably. They're 2-2 now. Maybe 7-9 tops if Daniel Jones continues to infuse some exuberance.
Yeah, they got some life. They got some juice. They'll get Golden Tate back off a suspension coming up. They're very pedestrian.
If they throttle you, what are the Patriots going to do next week?
What are you? What are you hanging your hat on? What is this group? Again, you summarize some of the reasons why they might struggle. Here's my summary. This would be true for any team, let alone one such as the Redskins. The best player hates them and won't play for them. They got $20 million sunk on a guy who may never play again, and their best offensive weapon, most consistent offensive weapon, may also never play again in Jordan Reed. Three of their five most highly paid players are not suiting up for them or won't suit up for them maybe ever again. Who could overcome that? Very few teams could. Maybe the Patriots could because the Patriot way is just amazing. I almost think you don't get to compare them because they're so much better than everybody else at whatever this is. There are 31 other teams and the Patriots. We're all just trying to figure out who can dethrone them in the dumb AFC. The Redskins should have known, should have acted appropriately given this set of circumstances. You had a coaching staff that's desperate for an influx of talent that can help them right now because they know their days are numbered. A front office or owner or whomever decided, no, we've got a plan for the future with a draft project quarterback. That does not help this team win right now. They are at odds. They're always at odds. This is an organization that has never once, since Dan Snyder has taken his evil tentacles and placed him in every little pie in Ashburn, has ever been on the same page. They've never been able to figure out a cohesive, smart, forward-thinking organization, and they are dinosaurs, and they're getting lapped by the rest of the league.
Snyder got to see his quarterback yesterday from Bullis High School.
Hope it was fun. Hope you enjoyed
his son's buddy from high school that he demanded that the Redskins draft. Now, do I think eventually Dwayne Haskins will be good? Absolutely. Was it a good draft pick at 15 when you get a guy who threw 50 touchdowns in the Big Ten? You don't have to move up to get him? Yeah, it's a worthwhile proposition you do that. But can we stop with the he's got to be on the field now stuff? I mean, can we cut that out? Because yesterday, I think we all saw what Jay Gruden and his staff have been saying all along. They've been screaming into a megaphone as loudly as they possibly could. He's not ready.
He is not ready.
He's not ready. And he went 9 of 17, threw a pick six, and was intercepted three times. Keenum was bad and got benched. And then Haskins, the offense got worse. First quarterback to throw a pick six in his first game with Washington since Stan Humphries in 1989.
So I thought the pick six was terrible. That was a he's not ready throw.
Yeah.
The other two, you know, an opportunity ball down the sideline, you know, that's not great, but I don't have as much
last
problem with
one
that.
I
one.
Don't put on
and then
him
the other
at all.
One is, you know, hits a receiver in the hand. So three picks are not all created equal. I know people hate that when you actually have nuance when it comes to turnovers and they just yell the turnovers are bad.
But
then
it wasn't
when Alex
just
Smith
the
checking
picks.
It down.
He's getting sacked, standing in the pocket, not knowing what he's seeing.
That's where I was
this
going.
This is a guy who doesn't, he's not ready for the bright lights. Now, what's going to happen, hopefully, is they'll start getting him reps in practice.
That's all I've ever wanted.
And they'll start playing him really for the Miami game. But if you're screaming that he needs to start against the Patriots after what you saw yesterday, you're a crazy person.
To me, that's where I was going. It's not the interceptions that I'm going, oh, my God, he threw three picks, he's not ready. Because that's what they'll do on the national shows. They'll say, but what's the fault here?
It's part of it, though.
To me, it was the probably not taking the drop at the right depth, getting sacked a bunch, holding on to the football. Not really. He looked uncertain, looked unsure, looked like a guy that has not been in this offense very much. It's because he hasn't, because he's running the scout team, a different offense, pretty much every week what they're going up against. All I've wanted was for a team that's going nowhere to treat their most important player with some recognition that how he performs at some point matters. Get him practiced up. Get him in there. I'm not talking about the games. He's not ready for games.
At some point, he's going to be a starter, and they'll start practicing him. You can't leave that until then. Colt McCoy, I would guess, will start against the Patriots if he's ready. If he's not, they go back to Keenum. And then my guess is for that Miami game and beyond, it might be Haskins' time. Although after yesterday's performance, maybe they put him in bubble wrap. But what I would say to Redskins fans is don't let that game color your opinion long term on Dwayne Haskins. I hope I don't hear a lot of people saying this guy stinks or he can't play. Number one, rookies make mistakes. It's what happens early in their career. And number two, more importantly, he has not had the opportunity yet to practice, and I don't think he should. We'll disagree on that. But until he's the starter, he's not going to get those first-team reps. This is what's going to happen early on. You kind of got to wear it. We all know that he's not ready. The Redskins have been screaming this to you all season long. Just because you didn't like it or you didn't want to hear it doesn't make it not the case. I'm going to read a quote from Jay Gruden in a few minutes that I think was directed almost right at Dan Snyder.
He may as well have emailed that to Dan.
He's just got to scream it right in Dan's face and say, see? But it was just bad. I mean, you can focus on Haskins getting to play if you want the positive that you saw the kid and he scrambled and he completed 9 passes, I guess. You can focus on John Bostic running around and being physical. I don't know what else you take out of it. Quentin Dunbar had 2 interceptions. That was good. But this was not the Cowboys that are headed to the playoffs. This was not the Eagles, who are a Super Bowl contender when they're healthy. This was not the Bears, who might win the NFC North. This is a bad Giants team that took your lunch yesterday. Beat you by 3 touchdowns. You had to give up the controller because you got worked. This looks like it's headed for a disaster.
Oh, it's already there, man.
3-13 type, bottom falling out, everyone gets fired kind of year. What did we learn yesterday? 800-636-1067. Plus, we'll give out some game balls and some gassers. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
New England, but I'm just sticking with my original thought, which is I don't think they'll fire Jay Gruden in season. I don't think that's something that they want to do around here. They have not fired a coach in season, to my knowledge. Has it been since Norv Turner back in 2000? In Schottenheimer, the story goes that Dan Snyder decided basically at training camp he wasn't bringing back. He didn't like him. He coached the rest of the year. Steve Spurrier was the biggest joke of any coach they've had at the NFL level. He just had no interest in winning unless he could do it his way. He lasted his second season. Then they went with Joe Gibbs, who's the only guy that's left on his own terms.
They tried to get Jim Zorn to quit.
They did everything they could. But remember, they didn't even fire Jim Zorn. And as the story came out later, I think Mike Wise wrote the piece, they were flying cross-country and meeting with Mike Shanahan already, like now, at this point in the season. In late September, and by the end of that lost year with Jim Zorn, his press conferences were cringeworthy.
Yes, they were.
Everybody knew he was not going to be the coach of the team. He was having power taken from him every week, more and more and more, and as you said, they really wanted him to quit, and he just wouldn't do it. He didn't get fired. Mike Shanahan, 3-13, lighting fire to the organization on his way out. He and Dan Snyder hating each other, the leaks and
trading
all the
leaks.
Things that were going on. He didn't get fired. You think they're going to fire Jay Gruden? Maybe they will. The one, I guess, benefit to moving on from a coach in season, and I've never really been a proponent, as you know, of doing it, is quote-unquote you begin your search early. But I think it's naive to think that teams can't also do that. Again, Shanahan was basically agreed to before Jim Zorn was even gone.
Right.
You could start your search now. They could be on the phone with Dabo Swinney or Lincoln Riley or whoever else. I don't know that it's fair to any one person in the building to blame them for what is a cultural bigger issue. And we said this last week, this falls more than anyone else on Snyder and on Bruce Allen, who is now, an update for you, 59-91.
Hey!
In regular season games, the Redskins have won or lost with him as team president.
If you Look, if you're one of those guys, and they tweet us all the time, at Funny Danny, at Grant H. Paulson, you're desperate to fire Jay, what am I going to do, argue with you? What, you know what I mean? Like, okay, fine, do that. Great. You know what I mean? I'm a 500 pounds overweight, but I had one salad today.
Lipstick on a pig.
You know, like my car's burned and exploded, but I'm changing a tire. I guess. If that's what satisfies you today, that's fine. Now, here's the thing. They're broken. They stink. They're not good. There's nothing they can do about it either because, again, they're three of their five most highly paid players are not playing for them anytime soon. Nobody could overcome that. Nobody. They're stuck. They're done. Miami's doing this on purpose. The Redskins aren't. We should always keep that in mind. I also don't happen to think they're very well coached on both sides of the ball at this point. Here's the other. They're not good enough. So even if they were well coached, they'd probably be 0-4. Maybe 1-3 at best.
So my thing on yesterday.
I don't think anybody's any good.
My thing on yesterday, Danny, when you're losing weight and you get on the scale after you've been cheating on your program all weekend, let's say, and you ate bad and you hung out with your buddies and you drank and it was carb infested and it was delicious.
It was fun, in other words, yeah.
You step on the scale and you dread looking down because you know that you gained a bunch of pounds, yeah. Right? This is you coming back from Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But at least when you get on that scale and you see that number grew, you know why. And it makes perfect sense. The demoralizing weigh-ins are when you feel like you did everything right and you went to the gym two or three times.
It's very relatable.
And you ate properly.
Uh-huh.
And you passed up on all your favorite foods for the last 7 days and you jump on the scale and you're up a pound and a half. You can't live with those. Those are harder. See, I can deal with the Redskins offense yesterday being bad. I don't know about as bad as it was. 2-for-11 on third down, 3 total points, the inability to run the ball again.
Again.
But you didn't have Brandon Scherff. You didn't have Chase Roullier. Your offensive line is all of a sudden starring 36-year-old Donald Penn. Your most consistent lineman at this point maybe has been left guard Eric Flowers, who had to change positions or else he would have been out of the league.
Amazing to think about, right?
Your left tackle Trent Williams is still nowhere to be found and may never show up, even though this team inexcusably and laughably refuses to trade him because that's idiotic.
Yes,
I can't even begin to talk about that without getting furious. But he's nowhere to be found. Terry McLaurin was out. So you weren't going to be good offensively. You can't be as bad as you were, but you weren't going to be good. That's the weigh-in that I can justify because I ate waffle 6 times and French toast 3 other times over the weekend while brunching. The defense being this terrible with first-round picks in each of the last 3 seasons. Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, and Montez Sweat with a perennial double-digit sack guy who's been too quiet this year, Ryan Kerrigan, with one of the most expensive cornerbacks in the league, Josh Norman, and the most expensive safety in the league when he put pen to paper this year, Landon Collins. There's ample talent and plenty of health right now on that side of the ball. And you've got 4 coaches in the defensive meeting room.
That's right.
Who have called plays and been coordinators. You've got a former head coach over there, Jim Tom Sula, Greg Minuski, Ray Horton, Rob Ryan. How is it possible that there are no answers? How is this defense this terrible? You got all those chefs in the kitchen, and your food's still getting returned, and your burgers are still hockey pucks. How in the hell is this happening?
That's what I can't figure out. Again, we talked about this a bit last week. Chicago's defense is excellent. They just shoved it on Minnesota. They're going to shove it on a lot of people. They're really good. So, yeah, you can't be that bad and win a game the way the Redskins' offense was last week. But that's going to happen. That's Jacob deGrom throwing 9 innings of one-hit baseball. He does that to everybody. Chicago's going to do that to everybody. I can't have a defense giving up 8 of 13 conversions on third downs to Chicago's offense, which sucks. I can't have Mitch Trubisky look good. I can't have the New York Giants on a 3rd-and-17 give up and check it down to Wayne Goleman, who is the most pedestrian. That guy waits for the walk signal and goes slowly across the crosswalk because he's a pedestrian. He's just a guy in a field of guys. He couldn't pick him out because he's just one of them. That guy jogs for 15 yards to set up a 4th-and-2. It doesn't even go as a third down conversion for a team that's 8 of 13. So really 9 of 13 because they got themselves into position after an accepted penalty on a third down stop to set up a 4th-down conversion. Laughable. Laughable how bad this defense is. I'd like to hear more about how epic you're going to be, Josh. Hey, Jano, tell tell me some more. Tell me some more about how great you're going to be. Tell me some more about the greatness that's coming. How about be adequate? How about be somebody that people aren't scared to go at or a little bit intimidated to go after?
Greatness left in week two. I just want not embarrassing. Can you not embarrass me anymore?
That unit should hang their head. They should be embarrassed. Offensively, you go, hey, we don't have the horses. On defense, there are plenty of thoroughbreds over there. That unit stinks, and I can't figure out how it's this bad. I'm with you.
800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls next. 800-636-1067. We'll try to give out some game balls and some gassers. We'll also discuss what you guys learned with you on the phones. The Redskins are 0-4 for the first time in 18 years. Luckily, this week they've got an easy game, though. This will be a definite win. The New England Patriots are coming to town. By the way, what do you think the early line is on that game? Have you seen it?
It started at 14.5. It's already at 15.5.
15 and a hook. The only difference between the Redskins and the Dolphins, Miami is trying to lose games.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jay Gruden was furious after the game, as he should be. It's been a quarter of a season. His team has not won. He blamed himself, among others, and he's coaching for his job. And at this point, it looks like he won't have a job this coming December, but certainly at the end of the year. He's just trying to stay around as long as possible. He said, though, I don't care when you're drafted. You have to earn that, meaning Will Haskins start against the Patriots. He's got to come in here and perform when he's asked to perform. I think this comment was directed at Haskins, was directed at Dan Snyder, was directed at the fans, was kind of one of those listen up loud and clear people who are chirping me.
Attention, attention.
He's got to come in and perform when he's asked to perform, and if I feel like he gives us the best chance to win against New England, I'll put him in. Translation, as long as I'm running this team, I call the shots. You're not just handed the keys because of where you're drafted. You've got to earn the right. All you guys who want to see him, all you know is that he went 15th overall. You don't see him practice. You don't know what he looks like.
Right.
I think he will continue to get better and better and better, but I have to look right now, Sunday afternoon against the Patriots, who gives us the best chance to win. That is the most important thing, and it's easier for him to make that case after Haskins comes in and throws three picks. I want to go back to something you talked about right at the end of last segment, though, that you brought up, because it was a huge point of consternation during the broadcast for Redskins fans. The Giants converted on that 3rd and 17 two plays. They get the check down that went for 15, and then on 4th and a couple, they pick up an easy first down. Defense can't get off the field. They would have had to kick a 47-yard field goal up 7-0 at the time already, had Jay Gruden accepted a penalty on 3rd down, instead of taking a penalty that pushed them out of field goal range and made it 3rd and 17. Redskins fans, furious. I think beforehand, a lot of people said, you can't possibly accept that penalty. We just forced a field goal. I need everyone to understand that in the handbook for coaching on the first page, that situation comes up. And 100% of the time, you push a team out of field goal range. 100% of the time. Now, we could debate with this Redskins team and this defense what Jay Gruden would have done, and that's fine. But just know that there is not a coach in the NFL, you pull 32 of them, who wouldn't do the same thing every single time to push a team out of field goal range. It's textbook. It's just common sense. It's what you do. We could have another debate, which is this defense is so bad on 3rd down and on they've got a 3rd and 17 come up that they might give up 3rd and 17. But the percentage of converting there is smaller than it is in the NFL of hitting a 47-yard field goal.
Well, it's not
analytically.
So for me, I would have declined the penalty, but what you're saying is correct. The conventional thing would be to absolutely accept that penalty and back them up to 3rd and 17. My point is, are they going to get past that original yard marker of where I stopped them? Are they going to get past that spot to kick an easier field goal? I'm not even thinking about conversion at that point.
Are they going to get 10 yards?
My defense
is basically your question.
Yeah, my defense is so bad that I would go, you know what? I have a third down stop. I'm taking that gift. But I'm not sitting there telling Jay Gruden he's an idiot or a buffoon, because what you're saying is correct.
5.7 yards per play is what the Giants averaged yesterday. This is just math, right?
No, you're right.
Are they going to get 10 on the next snap, let alone could you draw a holding penalty? Could you get a sack? Could they throw a ball into a tight window with a rookie quarterback and throw a pick trying to throw the ball down the field? It's third and almost 20.
Mm-hmm.
You accept that every time.
I know, but that's the convention. I'm looking at my group that's so penalized, I'm probably going to hold in my secondary. If they drop back to pass again, I'm going to give up something. I'm not killing Jay Gruden for that
you're
at
a loser. I'm not saying you. You're a loser if you coach that way, though. Like,
that's, 100%.
Now you're a loser anyway because you're 0-4.
Absolutely.
But my point is, and you're not being unreasonable. You're admitting, yes, he did what he should have done, probably.
What he did is the standard operating procedure for NFL football coaches in that situation. And I'm going, this is not standard. This
and
is
I don't
my,
know if
my
you saw
bad.
This. I'm guessing you didn't because you were busy. But, I mean, people were eviscerating him for this like he's some moron.
No, I didn't watch it in real time. I watched it on DVR, so I'm sure the Twitter police were very upset with that. That's not the case. That's incorrect.
Real quick, give me a couple game balls. Guys that stood out to you. I think you got to go Quentin Dunbar for 2 interceptions.
Dunbar's one.
Chris Thompson is their best player on offense. 4 catches for 56 yards. He gets a game ball. I like Bostic's game. 11 tackles. Anybody else?
I thought Matt Ioannidis showed a couple times.
He was awesome. That's true.
Setting the edge. A little bit of pressure towards the middle of the field. But it didn't show up much on the stat sheet. One quarterback hit. But
he had 7 tackles, though.
Yeah,
he was active.
I thought he was very solid.
As far as gassers go, worst players in the game, Fabian Moreau was just terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a health thing. He hasn't been playing. He's been coming back from injury. He was flagged constantly for holding people. I think on every single snap, he was holding people. Another gasser I would give out would be pass rush. Where was it? That could be Kerrigan. That could be Sweat. It didn't seem like Daniel Jones had to deal with anybody. And I thought Cole Holcomb really struggled. He's had some really good games early this season. I thought Cole Holcomb hurt them at inside linebacker yesterday.
Not his best. I'd add the safeties. Monte Nicholson. Evan Engram is still open. I need you to live up to some of this stuff. I thought you were going to be better in coverage than you were yesterday against your former team. What better time to demonstrate that they made a mistake? They made the right call. Jabril Reppers pick 6. You struggled in coverage. I'd like that to be different in future. But, yeah, I think you touched on him.
Let's go to Brad in Rockville. Hey, Brad, how are you?
Morning, boys. How are we doing?
Good.
What's up, Brad?
So, yeah, one of the two things I was going to mention was that what you just talked about, accepting that holding call. But number two, I believe it was the first drive Haskins was in. It was 4th-and-2 on the goal line. We're down 14-0. We're an 0-3 team. Why are we not going for it there? Why
gotta
are we
go
taking
for
the
that.
Field goal?
I agree with you. I think it's a great point, Brad. You got to go for that. It's a good call. I hated that. Now, is it why they lost? No.
No.
It is symptomatic, though, of a lack of maybe trust in the quarterback. That the snap before that, Haskins had a wide-open Vernon Davis and missed him. It was interesting to me because that drive, they took over at the 37. They end up getting a field goal. And if you looked at, like, the way that people were talking about Haskins, reporters for the team, it was like he was great on the drive. He threw 2 completions. He missed a wide-open Vernon Davis. If you're Jay Gruden, maybe you don't completely trust the young quarterback on the road there. I don't know. But what he said is very, I think, smart. You're 0-3. Your season is on the line. What is the difference?
Well, beyond that.
Can you trust your defense to hold them to 14-3 there?
Not
no chance.
All. Not at all. Of course not. And I'm with you. But beyond that, and again, this is why I say I don't think they're particularly well coached. There are instances like that. Late in the game, I understand you're not winning the game. But at least demonstrate some urgency. They're using the full 40 seconds. They're getting delay of game penalties. They're calling timeout with 2 or 3 seconds left on the clock as you're, you know, down multiple scores. Put the kid in that position. Run a little hurry up. Run some tempo. Let's have some urgency. Get out of the huddle. Go, go, go. Even if he's not ready to run the hurry up offense, the actual honest to goodness 2-minute drill, at least demonstrate some urgency that you're trying to get back in this thing. They're handing it off. They're just waiting for the clock to expire. I thought that wasn't very good either.
800-636-1067, your takeaways from what was, you can't call it sloppy, that would be doing it a service. Really just another embarrassing game. You've played 3 division opponents, you've lost 2 all 3 of them, you're 0-4 for the first time in 18 years, listening to the Fan. Jay Gruden on Dwayne Haskins after the game. Don't blame him for all three picks. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. You can't really blame him for much of yesterday. I liked his demeanor. I liked what he had to say after the game. I'm going to be here for a long time. Get used to seeing me smiling up here. We're going to fix this. We're going to win. So that's what I do. I win. I'm not going to lose. We're going to sort this out. It was Tim Tebow-esque at Florida.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, I thought he was put into a bad spot, to be honest with you. You know, you don't get much practice time running an offense that you're trying to run now. And, you know, okay, we're screwed up. We're down in a bad place. Go win it for us. Go do something. That's a tough ask for any backup quarterback, let alone a guy that's
literally
never
the role
done this
of the
before.
Backup quarterback. Like, that's the spot every backup quarterback in the history of the league's been in when they get put into the game.
Well, they're usually in because the starter gets hurt. But yes, I'm with you.
Sometimes guys get benched. Although I think it sounds to me, I don't know if you got
rare
this.
Now, right?
Keenum, look, he threw the pick and again got off to a bad start. I don't even think the interception was what got him benched. I think it was missing Trey Quinn wide open twice down the field.
Yeah, maybe
leaving
right,
plays
yeah.
on the field. But do you agree? It seemed to me like Gruden in that cut there, he was talking as if this was a foot problem. Like he wasn't healthy and that's why he played like he played.
Mm.
He mentioned his foot as being an issue yesterday a couple times, and it seemed like he almost went away from him based on health because the ineffectiveness he thinks comes back to that. Let's roll through some calls. Clinton Portis is with us in 10 minutes. Nelson is listening on the Radio.com app in Texas. What's up, buddy?
Hey, yes, I think that putting Haskins in the game at that point was unconstitutional. He never should have been put in that game. And then when you did put him in the game, you put him in the game so he had to be the leader. You know, you didn't come in there and protect him with some type of running game. That's my first point. And my second point is with Adrian Peterson. Gruden might as well call Adrian Peterson into his office and say, hey, why don't you find somewhere else for you to go, because I don't like you. I'm not going to play with you. I'm not going to do anything with you. You know, Gruden has gotten to the point with Adrian Peterson, it's like having Usain Bolt on your track team and you take him and put him in the 3,000, in the 5,000 meters.
You lost me on the track reference. I think your point is they're not using him correctly.
Meaning he's not being utilized properly.
Peterson averages 2.7 yards per carry. So when they do give him carries, he's not doing anything with them. I don't blame him, just like I didn't blame Geis. I think the problems are larger than that. But I don't think there's some nefarious plan to hold Adrian Peterson down. He's 34 and he's not that effective at this point.
I think their running game is systemic. I think those issues are much bigger than one guy.
Jay Gruden hate Darius Geis too? Because the game that he played, he didn't do anything in about the same number of carries that Peterson gets. I think the problem is probably bigger than Adrian Peterson. But by the way, if he did leave, they wouldn't lose anything because he's run the ball 30 times and doesn't have 100 yards yet. So Samaje Perine could have done that. Just plow into the wall in front of you and then fall down. Drew is in D.C. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing, man?
What's up, buddy?
I'm going to say three quick things, man, probably jumping on a lot of things you all said. First of all, with the Adrian Peterson thing, I think, you know, far scheming up and doing the right things towards, you know, Adrian Peterson, he's a Hall of Fame running back. When he was with Minnesota, he did a lot of off tackles. He's not a zone runner. So you design stuff that's, you know, conducive towards him. And I'll give you an example. Kyle Shanahan knew RG3 wasn't a drop-back quarterback. He took all season, mm-hmm. you know, developed something that worked for RG3, man, and then it took off. Now everybody running the pistol. Adrian Peterson doesn't run out of the pistol. And my second thing is, y'all mentioned all the defensive coordinators that we do have and wonder why they can't get it together. You know, Winuski, he's making the final call, but the one time they did blitz and show pressure, they got to Jones, but we had an offside, and he never went back to it, man. So there's a lot of pieces. And my last thing with Dwayne Haskins, you're putting them in there, you're setting them up for failure, because the problem is not just the quarterback, it's the people around them who's not doing their job.
Agreed.
Thanks, buddy.
So a couple of things. On Haskins, now playing him was not fair to him. You know, last week he should have started the game. It's an interesting dichotomy. And again, it's different people, so I don't know who's saying what a week ago.
Sure.
But there is not a softer landing spot, really, than the Giants' defense. They're terrible. They didn't play like it yesterday. The Redskins helped them in that regard.
Sure.
Now, if you want to say you don't have Terry McLaurin, so he shouldn't have played, okay. You don't have Chase Roullier or Brandon Scherff, so he shouldn't have played in that game, okay. He wouldn't have if Colt McCoy was healthy. But Case Keenum, maybe it was because of his foot, maybe not, gave them no chance. This guy was the 15th overall pick, who's got a rocket for an arm, and who showed some big-time play potential in the preseason. If you can't put him into the game against the Giants yesterday because you've got to protect him from New York, then he should not play all season, period. Because there are only a few defenses in the league worse than that one yesterday. Let's go to Andre in Manassas. What's up, Dre?
Hey, Dre.
Hey, gentlemen. So, you know, obviously, while I'm disappointed in the score and disappointed in the moment, I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, isn't this exactly what this franchise needed? You know, this team, we've been arguing for years, decades even, that, you know, always almost being close, you know, we're just missing this one piece, we're almost there. And I think that's essentially why we're here where we are today. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I think ultimately this team needed to be gutted. This team needs the franchise. You know, Danny, you said something earlier about, you know, tanking. You know, this team is not trying to tank. Tanking implies that you're purposely trying to lose. This team is actually trying to win. So, you know, I do hope, you know, everyone said everything, you know, it's not about the coaching staff. It's not about, it's about the GM. And again, there's no guarantee, absolutely no guarantee that this GM is going to change. But I mean, it's the culture, you know, this from the medical staff, to the coaching staff, to, you know, just everything about this franchise just needs to change. So I'm hoping that this 0-4 about to be 0-5 start, you know, lets the, you know, owners, you know, realize that, you know what, we just need to just go ahead and
yeah, they need a clean house.
I mean, they walked down the middle. They kept a bunch of veterans, guys like Norman, guys like Vernon Davis. They are stubborn about Trent Williams. They went and got Alex Smith last year. They're trying to do a thing where they compete and win, but also sort of reload on the fly with some young players. They have a bunch of young kids that either don't help them, are projects, or aren't available. And their older players, shockingly, are not playing for them either. Their three of their six highest paid players are not suiting up for the team for various reasons. They run the gamut of all the different reasons. There's no chance to win when that's the case. You're trying to do too many things, and none of them are working.
Clinton Portis is on the show with us every Monday at 11. He'll join us next on Grant and Danny. Next hour, we'll get into our first look at the Nats and the Brewers. Tomorrow, a wild card game at Nationals Park. You're listening to The Fan.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.